plans to overhaul the CIA are getting some mixed reviews. Director John Brennan's plan, announced Friday, would bring operatives and analyticals together to work side by side. Critics say objectivity might be at risk, while those in favor say the collaboration will produce a more powerful product. Joining me to explore the changes and what they mean is Michael Allen. He's the managing director of Beacon Global Strategies and former majority staff director of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So if this happens, as described in the unclassified memo that has been put out by the director, how much different would the resulting CIA actually be from the one that we know now?
I think it'd be pretty dramatic. I mean, what we're hearing is that there will be as many as 10 centers across the agency. So really, the famous DO, the Directorate of Operations, and the DI, the Analyst Corps there at CIA, will be housed together in at least 10 different centers sometime before the end of this year. And I think that'll be a pretty radical new organizational front for the Central Intelligence Agency.
So almost a mashup of different things that had been in their own vertical channels before.
Yes, with a few exceptions. Of course, it's the famous Counterterrorism Center, actually set up a little bit before 9/11, but really got its sea legs after 9/11. This has been sort of the case that Brennan has rolled out as the best example of what he wants to do agency-wide. Of course, they're behind the famous takedown of Osama bin Laden and dozens of other manhunts that have been tremendously successful. And there, the operators and the analysts were forced to work together to sit in the same center, to literally be co-located. So one of the motivating factors, I think, that the leadership team has had is, why don't we try and replicate this success elsewhere in the agency by breaking down the cultural differences and information sharing barriers and creating a mission-focused center.
And so each center will have an assistant director at the top. That means that there's going to be some winners and losers on the organization chart, sounds like.
I think so. I mean, a lot of people are trying to figure out where they stand here. It really feels like the new centers, maybe as many as 10, will be sort of like the combatant commanders, to analogize it over to DOD. Those are obviously very, very highly sought after positions. They're the ones that would report directly to, in this case, the deputy director or the director of the CIA about what they've got going on, either on their mission or in theater, as the case may be. So I think over time, the combatant commander model, the head of the center, becomes more of a job that you really, really want in the CIA as opposed to maybe doing procurement or other things, unless that's the kind of thing you want to do.
And would all of these mission directorates be basically at Langley right here?
I think so. I mean, I think they're basically here, but of course we have posts all over the world. And so one of the questions about the reorganization is that what role do our posts play overseas? Obviously, if you're in Europe, you're going to be in the Europe Center. But we often don't have that many threats emanating, or we don't have that many targets, perhaps, that are of European descent. And what they want are the people that travel through that particular country that are sort of in the geographical base of that particular station. So at least from what I've heard, we've got to work out what the role of the station will be if they're a member or a part of a new center.
And how powerful are the bureaucratic traditions in the CIA? That is to say, how much of a difficulty will Brennan have in actually pushing this down so that it takes hold at the level of the people that have to carry it out?
I think he's going to have a hard time. I think there's going to be sort of bureaucratic blood on the floor as a result of this. There are a couple of individuals who I think high-ranking senior DO officers who may leave CIA outright. I think there's going to be some opposition in the top ranks as things shake out. And so, you know, these are radically different cultures. The DO culture, the operator culture, is one of we need to commit or induce someone to commit treason. We need to talk them into being a spy for us. That takes a certain kind of guts and a certain kind of personality. And of course, the other half of the CIA are analysts, brilliant PhDs who study, of course, intelligence and other scholarly works. And so you can just imagine those are two different types of people, and we're going to be asking them to work more closely together. So I think there'll be some friction as things sort out. And we hadn't really heard from Congress yet. Congress will have to have something to say on this before it's all over.
Well, that's my next question. By the way, we're speaking with Michael Allen, Managing Director of Beacon Global Strategies and former Majority Staff Director of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, how much of this actually requires congressional input, or is he wise to simply consult with Congress, even though there might not be a law required to do what Brennan wants to do?
Well, he's definitely already consulted with Congress. And he's going to have to continue to go up there to explain his rationale. You're right, he doesn't need Congress per se to authorize exactly what he's done, but Congress could make it difficult for him by denying funds or conditioning funds on certain metrics or guideposts. He'll definitely want to avoid that. The CIA would say that would be an unprecedented trampling upon our ability to manage our own agency and beyond what Congress should be able to do. But, you know, they need to get Congress in a good place and comfortable with this, or else Congress could make trouble for it.
I mean, in some ways, for those that are not in the CIA, it's a little bit like an American Kremlin in the sense that it's impossible to have external deep knowledge of it for most people.
Right.
From your experience, how well does Congress, or at least certain members of Congress, have a good inside understanding of what really happens in Langley and throughout the posts?
Well, you know, obviously there's a difference between people who are on the intelligence committees and those who aren't. I mean, I'll concede that the members on the intelligence committee know dramatically more than your average member of Congress. But, of course, that was by design. That was the system that we set up in the 70s where the executive branch said, fine, Congress, we'll deal you in, but it's only going to be a small group of people. But, I mean, this might surprise you and your listeners. I mean, CIA, because of its history and because it's so well known through televisions and movies, and frankly because there have been some scandals there through the years, Congress has a better handle on what the Central Intelligence Agency is doing, at least vis-a-vis covert actions and the rest, than it does maybe over some other intelligence agencies that don't get as much attention or don't have the long history that Congress does of getting in their business.
But it's not likely that Mandy Patinkin will do any testifying anytime soon.
That would be more fun than a lot of the hearings we've seen.
I suppose so. I wanted to ask you about this Center for Digital Innovation.
Right.
In some ways, you know, contrasted with the global and sweeping changes that Brennan is proposing, this sounds like something a little bit more of the moment.
I think so. I think that this is just a reflection of how important cyber is to all of the missions at the CIA. Some critics have said, well, we already had a sort of a cyber center at the agency. Why are you converting it into a directorate, or why isn't in the Directorate of Science and Technology out at the Central Intelligence Agency? I've heard some people say that. To me, this is just, again, a reflection of how important the digitization of intelligence has become, how integrated it is into the actual tradecraft of the agency. And I think this is a statement that, hey, we need more of this, and we're going to be able to be a force provider for each of the centers to supply individuals with cyber backgrounds who can benefit mission.
And the other big element in this plan is education of people at the CIA and leadership development. Traditionally, what has been the process for leadership development and education? I know it's, you know, to some degree, there's something of an old boys network that operates there. But how will this change things relative to the way they are now with this emphasis on a CIA university and all of the rest of it?
Well, I've heard a lot of veterans say that every CIA director has been trying to figure out a way to advance leadership skills so that when John Brennan comes in, for example, he doesn't feel like he needs to bring people from the State Department or the Treasury Department like he has to be his new deputy, because there's so many people there that have been groomed for top leadership success at the Central Intelligence Agency. So I think that's what they're going for. I think they're trying to instill a sense of this is CIA culture and here's what you do here. I mean, after all, it wasn't too long ago that we were all talking about the National Intelligence University and that everybody needed to be cross-trained for other people's missions so that we would work as a more integrated force after 9/11. I think this is CIA saying, hey, we've got a lot of work to do within our own building to shape a new culture for our mission, and that's the idea behind what Director Brennan's trying to do.
And for new CIA directors, and there's been, you know, a number of them of varying skills and varying backgrounds over the years. I'm, you know, thinking of like Porter Goss and so forth coming from Congress. And I guess there's probably been something of a white corpuscle response in many cases in the agency to rejecting new leadership. Do you think Brennan wants to make it easier for new CIA directors to come in and know they can trust the next echelon down that reports to them?
You know, I've heard this. I've heard that there's an element of the operators really dominate the CIA and analysts want to sort of level the playing field. I've heard that. I don't know if it's true. But certainly, I think there's a feeling that for future directors to be able to get a handle on the agency, it might make more sense if these two cultures were blended together and had more of a sense of what the other does, and that they work more closely together on mission. So, yeah, I think over time, if this works, it may have that effect.
All right, so final question. If you were handicapping this, what percentage chance would you give the Brennan plan of actually taking and making a different CIA, say, 2 to 3 years from now?
I think I'd give it a high probability over time in the medium term of being successful. I think in the short term it's going to be ugly, and a lot of people are going to be asking, how do I fare, and how does my office fare in this, and who do I report to, and are you kidding? Now I'm reporting to an analyst instead of an operator when that's the way I've been brought up in the agency. So I think we're going to have a lot of problems in the short term, but eventually, barring something unforeseen like a congressional intervention, I think over time things will settle down and people will work under the new system.
All right. Michael Allen is Managing Director of Beacon Global Strategies. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.